from the heart of Los Angeles. This is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright
lights. We have tonight's guest, author and creator of Discover Your Who, John Styx.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And performance guest, Peter Katz. I am Mark Legere, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
This is our episode 724, and we've titled it Discover Your Who and Uncover Your Golden Gift, based on the work that our interview guest does. And I'm excited about this. I'm excited for many reasons, and I'm excited for me personally because I am learning about my who all the time. And a lot of my clients would find that surprising, and some of them would get it because I talk about it all the time, that there are some things that are stable about our who. There are some things that change, and there are some things that we discover as we get older or wiser, et cetera, et cetera. And one of the things that I like to do with almost all my clients, it's not like I start every first session with a client with this, but on occasion I'll ask who just walked in the room, or these days more often, who just walked in the Zoom, like who's on Zoom with me right now. And it wasn't supposed to be originally an ambiguous question. I ended up realizing that it was ambiguous, and fair enough. And I ask it that way for many reasons. One of them is because a lot of people kind of get on the defensive when you say, who are you? When you just come out and say, who are you? But in the ambiguity, sometimes they'll answer and then they'll stop. And then, so we learn things in the process that could help with the client process, of course, and in the sessions going forward. But more often than not, I get a question back, and that is, what? What do you mean? And I could explain it and ask it in so many different ways. And rarely, well, actually, I've never gotten an answer that blew me away. But most of the answers either is I don't know, or like they don't know who they are, or they'll mention a couple things that they are, or better yet, a couple things that people do. And what I've come down to is that people don't know who they are. And it's become a big part of what we talk about, what we like to talk about on the show. And gosh, can't be a bigger part than having a show specifically on it, like Discover Your Who. That's a book. We have the author on. He's an entrepreneur. He's a coach. He's a creator of Discover Your Who. Mark, when you started talking about bringing John on the show, I got excited, and you know it.
John's a rare find. I've been so excited to get to know him. He shows up in such an authentic way, has such so many facets from his practice, but his worldview and the way he delivers his information. Had the opportunity to meet him through our Epics family. Shout out to Paul Kirchhoff, who's been on the show prior. And just a quality individual. I'm excited for this conversation. I'm going to refrain from any Whoville jokes tonight, and so we can get right into it.
Okay, so John says he's a leader who loves people. He cares about their healing, their dreams, their businesses, and their lives. And he created a Discover Your Who, the framework, out of his own realization that his fullest potential is realized when he's helping others discover their who. Welcome, John Styx, to the Life Changes Show.
Oh my goodness, Filippo and Mark, what a pleasure it is to be here. Thanks for welcoming me.
It's great to have you here. Who are you?
I knew I was going to get a question like that, and I was waiting for it.
I didn't know I was going to ask it, so I don't know how you knew.
Right out of the gate. Well, who am I? That has been quite the journey.
Uh-huh.
And to say the least, I'm ready to get into it with you.
Nice. I'm excited about that. And of course, discover your who and uncover your golden gift. So we're going to talk about some really exciting things here. So, you know, you were a lot of who's on the way to a big who aha.
Mm-hmm. That's,
and now you're more who's, and that include the old who's and the new who's. And so let's go back to this wonderful person who had done so many amazing things that who one day said, who am I?
Yes. Well, I think the best and most appropriate place to start, if I may, is back when I was 16 years old, I met my best buddy. And my best friend and I realized early that we wanted to start businesses and, you know, really just hang out together. In fact, we called it, we're going to go to our passion as opposed to go to our work, even at a young age. And in 1994, after we had tried about 9 different businesses and really didn't work, we hit one, and in the telecommunications space, and it grew very rapidly for 10 years straight. And it was just this most amazing journey to do this with your best friend out of your basement with really no resources. In fact, we actually had one blazer and one pair of shoes. We couldn't even go to the same meeting together. And, you know, it was just this amazing realization that dreams can come true. And we built it around with family and friends and grew the business, you know, to well over 100 employees, then 200. And then in its 11th year, in the midst of, you know, realizing our dreams coming true, I was becoming very disengaged from the very dream that I helped create, and I couldn't understand it. And I remember one time I put my hand on the front door of headquarters, HQ. And in one fail moment, as I put my hand to open the door on any given morning, that particular morning was different. As I put my hand on the handle to open the door, I let go and knew I wasn't to go into the building any longer. And so I went back into my car, reclined the seat, put on music, and went, uh-oh. Now, during that time, we had also noticed that, boy, oh boy, our culture of what we had in previous years was not the same. It was unraveling. And where we had collaboration, we had infighting. Where we had solutions, we had silos. And this turmoil seemed to be manifesting inside of the business. But I was also dealing with tremendous turmoil manifesting inside of me. And in that moment in the car, I realized that I didn't know who I am. My identity had been completely wrapped up in the very dream that I helped create in my company. And in that moment, I realized that my identity and my business partner's identity was my company's. And I realized I didn't know who I am, and I also didn't know who the company was that I created.
Wow, what a story. And what you just said reminded me, I thought you might go one other step, which you did while we were talking, which blew me away. So you didn't know who you were. You didn't know who the company was that you helped create. And if you didn't know who you were, then, right? Go on. That was, right?
Yeah. It was like a double recline on the chair, you know, going backwards. I also realized in that moment that, you know, if I don't know who John Styx is, like really know who I am beyond, you know, beyond the labels that I was carrying, the stigmas that I thought I had to wear, if I really didn't know who I was and I didn't have a sense for who I was, how could I possibly think and or expect or hope that the closest people in my life could be loving me? Because if I don't know who I am, then who are they loving?
That is so profound. And we're talking specifically about business. I mean, the story so far has been a lot about business, but this expands to everything and everyone in our lives.
Yeah, 100%. It affects all our relationships. It affects all the choices we make. It affects the thoughts we keep, the inner dialogue that we have within ourselves of who we are or who we're not. And so, I like to say that, a blind spot is an opportunity to grow. And, what we don't know about ourselves is an opportunity for us to make a choice. And I had lots of new choices to make, but I had lots of blind spots to find. But in that moment, I realized that even though everyone was really well-intentioned and wanted to give me help, although I only asked a few, because in those days, I wasn't vulnerable enough to really explain what I was going through. The success that appeared on the outside, the person that had it all together, was indeed eroding inside. And so when I would ask people what to do, they'd say, John, take a vacation. You haven't taken a vacation. Take a vacation. I didn't take a vacation. I'd come back and I would say, hey, nothing's changed. And they would say, well, you took the wrong vacation. I mean, it wasn't that the advice wasn't coming from a great place. It's just another example of that. If we don't turn the arrow inward, and that's what I did in that moment, Filippo, is I turned the arrow inward and realized in that moment, all the answers that I'm seeking must be inside of me.
And thus began a journey. I almost went Canadian there. Began, I said. Thus, the two of you being Canadian, I don't know what just happened to me. Thus began a journey that part of this already is in the book, and then the journey of your finding your own who on the way to helping then others find their own who in your book, Discover Your Who.
That's right. Yeah. In that moment when I had that awareness, it doesn't mean I knew what to do. And it doesn't mean that I had all the answers instantaneously, coming to me, far from, but at least I had a place to start. And it felt in the moment, the right path to take. If I really wanted to find out what I truly desired in life and what I wanted to do and the answers that I was seeking, surely they must be inside of me if I can't find them outside of me. And so I went on a journey, and that journey took me to a business trip that I decided to go on in Vancouver. I had no thoughts of really going and exploring or anything like that, but I was willing to go take some walks around lovely Stanley Park. If for all of you that have been to Vancouver, it's one of my favorite cities, and conduct myself in the business meetings I had scheduled. There's a set of circumstances that occurred that permanently changed my life over a 4-day period. I knew I was never going to be the same person ever again. It shook me to my core in a beautiful way, a scary way, an unnerving way, and an exciting way. And on the plane ride back, I remembered Filippo, when I was a young kid, I used to dream about people being happy, or, my family being happy, or if someone was sick, they'd be healed. And I used to just kind of think that everyone dreamt about that. And, maybe they do. But for me, I remembered that. And I said to myself at that moment, if I do care so deeply about, people, why am I not leading my life that way? And this is this incongruity between what you realize to be lighting up inside you as the start of a path or an answer or an ignition, an inspiration, a fire for something that you believe in. And in that moment, that's what I was realizing. And here was now the opportunity where, what am I going to do about it? Am I going to allow this thought to materialize in my life, or was I going to not pick up the phone that's ringing? And so I decided in that moment, even though I was really scared, that I was going to start with my business, and I was going to ask my business partner if I could affect some systemic changes that I had in my heart and in my mind. And I went to my business partner and longtime best friend and explained my intention. He said, I don't know what that means, John, but I believe in you. And in that moment, I was empowered. And so I started to get out of my head and lead from my heart. And we, you know, with the collection of everyone and the help of everyone, certainly not just me, we as a team were able to heal our wounds, recalibrate as a team, a management team, a leadership team, and then really start to erase things from the lips of us as individuals. Like, don't take it personal. It's just business. All these things that, you know, we think are just business related, but yet so deeply personal. Mm. And, you know, we went from a toxic workplace culture, and a year later we won best HR brand in the entire country for any classification of a company, any size in our entire country. The government did a study on us and sent it out to all the CEOs. I was asked to guest speak around the world. And really, I couldn't believe that all of that had happened, because all I really feel like I did was follow my heart.
Mm. John, I can't help but reflect on that early phase of your journey at 16, 17. And despite the fact that you had this moment of searching where you started, you know, tuning in, how present you were even in those younger years, and how powerful that was to even begin to recognize the desire. Because I reflect on my own journey, and I went through lots of successes and lived lots of experiences, and it took a lot more of life for me to even realize and start asking myself questions to start to find that search meaningful.
Yeah, no, thanks, Mark. You know, like, I'm very blessed that I had met my best friend at 16 years old, and you know, best friend, brothers, and be able to dream together and be able to, you know, reinvent and invent and throw caution to the wind. And quite frankly, I was, you know, we as a team were just so, we were adhering so deeply to the actual dream that we really didn't see the blockers that normally we would see in our lives around us. It was, you know, bound together as a duo, and then three or four, and then five, and then 20, and then 50, all marching towards a dream of really accomplishment, of achievement, of success, but of community building.
Well, it what Mark just brought me back to, the 16-year-old kid and the reflection and all, it reminds me of something that you've said, and it really, I really want to bring it home, that the answers have been in you and are in you, are in each one of us, right?
Yeah. You know, I just firmly believe it. And I've seen it time and time again, when we, you know, when we have this realization. You know, I'll tell a little story, if I may. When I was, you know, a personal story, when I was a young boy, I was born into a very, you know, I guess, typical family. And, you know, I was the youngest out of four brothers, and we were very, you know, physical, athletic, and out there and active. And my mom, you know, she was at home a lot trying to figure out how to raise four boys. And my dad was working all hours to bring in some paychecks. And quite frankly, it was just, as a little guy, I was always trying to seek attention. I was always trying to say, hey, over me, over here, because my three older brothers were within a year of each other, and they're twins. So, you know, I was always seeking attention. And that, my parents ended up divorcing, and it was, you know, a breaking of our family. And, you know, two of my brothers went with one parent, and the other two, including me, went with another parent, shattering the fabric of our family. And, you know, even, and then what that did was that magnified my sense of wanting to be noticed, right? And there was also a sense of abandonment in there. You know, we all have these scar tissues, you know, all 7.5 billion plus. We all walk through this life, and we're born into it, and we're kids, and we're playful and curious and smiling and ready and willing to meet anyone and trust. And then all of a sudden we get hurt, and there's scar tissue. And that scar tissue, I believe, forms our actions, and our actions repeated create habits. And so those habits of wanting to get noticed, manifested as I got older. Now, they led, and some other things led to me not being happy, not feeling inner peace, having anxiety, having insecurities about who I was. I was this successful businessman, people would think, but inside I was insecure about myself. I was not satisfied. I was always pushing the goalposts out where I would be happy one day. And in that moment when I started to really dive into who I am, and after the experiences of Vancouver, I knew that I was on the right path. And what I did was I started to really investigate, really research. And for me, it went to ancient wisdom. It went to studying the great leaders of the past, philosophers, spiritual leaders, leaders of communities. How did they bound together? How did they bind together? How did they communicate before there was technology? What motivated us all? What brings us joy? What allows us to be peaceful? You know, someone walked on the earth that could have been called the Prince of Love, Compassion, Forgiveness, and many other, but he was called the Prince of Peace. Why is peace so important? I became thirsty and dove deep into it. And as I started to realize that vulnerability was a strength and not a weakness, I started to look at and connect the dots back towards the pains that I thought I was past, and realized that they were in some ways open wounds that I thought were healed. And by just simply going back and re-looking at it, I was able to realize that I could look at those from different eyes. I wasn't the five-year-old sitting on a floor, cold floor, feeling alone. I was a 45-year-old man that could look at that and realize, wait, I was never abandoned. I had lots of family. And I was able to look down the mountain slope back down to the valley with different eyes and a different perspective, and be able to give myself a healing and let go. And then as I did that, things started to kind of dry up like mud and fall off of me. And what was being revealed was more of who I really am.
John, thank you for sharing that. Thank you so much. And we've got to take a break. And when we come back, we've been talking about who. We're going to talk a little bit about why. We're going to talk about villains. And then we're going to talk about a tool on finding our who. So if you don't know by now, we're talking about discovering your who. The book is actually Discover Your Who. Our author guest is John Stix. Of course, you've also heard, an entrepreneur and coach and creator of this great workshop. We are going to have our Ask Dorothy in the next segment as well. And then our last segment will be our performance segment, when Peter Katz is going to be joining us live. This will be such a treat. Join us, stay with us. We'll be right back here on the Life Changer Show at Home Edition right after this.
Want to connect with amazing people who are committed to making a difference? From the Heart Tribe is a platform, community, and movement with the purpose of bringing like-minded humans together to help animals and the environment in order to gain a stronger connection and understanding of the world around us. They're dedicated to effectuating positive change by empowering individuals to organize meaningful and engaging experiences that build compassion for animals and the natural environment. Their founders and members' passion is to inspire others to actively get involved in their homes, their communities, and the world, to raise awareness about the issues we face, and most of all, to be part of the solution. Through their efforts, they have also accomplished some amazing and tangible achievements. Their Pickup for Paradise beach cleanups have collected over 50,000 pieces of foreign debris. And also, thanks to animal rescue and recovery volunteers, over 30% of the volunteers have become vegan or reduced their meat intake. Daily habits make a big difference. Please join any of their upcoming events by going to fthtt.org and signing up for their newsletter. You can also follow on Instagram and Facebook at From the Heart Tribe. Have you felt inspired to meditate but you just can't? Do you suffer from anxiety but fidget toys just make you more fidgety? Want to replace negative self-talk in your head that keeps bringing you down? Introducing the latest self-help solution, Phi Beads. Transformational beaded jewelry inspired by ancient wisdom, science, math, and psychology. All five beads are designed to incorporate the powerful Fibonacci sequence, nature's mathematical formula that has shaped our existence from the beginning of time. The Fibonacci sequence, also known as the golden mean or the golden ratio, is recognized by our conscious and unconscious mind and resonates as order out of chaos, like we see in plants, flowers, seashells, ocean waves, the pyramids, and in our own body. Not only beautiful, they feel good to wear. Phi beads can help anchor tranquility, positivity, focus, and structure in your life by doing the Phi meditation. Phi meditation helps you harness the power of I am, or intention, affirmation, and manifestation. Affirm the life you want. Get your set of Phi beads at phibeads.com. That's Phi, P-H-I, beads.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We are back. I am Filippo online with our executive producer and co-host, Marc Legere, and our guest is entrepreneur, coach, and creator of and author of Discover Your Who, John Stix. John, I have so been enjoying hearing your stories and how you share vulnerability and how you've talked about it. It's interesting when you look back at what you have shared. Do you still think, like, I know we call it vulnerable, but do you still see it as vulnerable, or do you see, how do you see it when you look back to what you,
you know, when I look, when I, great question. I love it. You know, when I look back at it now, I look at it as a story. Mm. You know, it's a chapter in the overall book that I'm writing and that yes. I'm the author of this life and journey that I'm on. And so I'm able to look at it now with gratitude and thankfulness. And actually everyone that was involved in those memories, I love them.
In those memories being the positive and the negative, I imagine.
Yeah, both. You know, it's looking back at it from different eyes and realizing that although in a moment in time in my life, it felt painful, it helped create who I am now and helped me find aspects of who I really am. It really, they were breadcrumbs for me to be able to discover my own golden gifts.
So, yeah, John, one of the moments that I had, a friend of mine during some of my darkest hours said, you know, you have to be down in order to be qualified to know what up is. And that, that reminds me of what you're talking about and how I don't think you could really discover your who, as you're saying, unless you have that context to draw from.
Yeah, I love it. And I feel that in many ways, you know, we believe we're alone. We believe that we're alone within our thoughts. We believe we're alone in our living, in our world. We believe we're alone in our pain. And what we really are is the opposite. You know, there's, again, billions and billions and billions of us on this planet Earth that's moving around and turning around. And we're all connected, I believe. And we all, I believe in our hearts, want to feel like we're connected. I truly do. And the reality is that when we start to let go some of these things that hold us back, wrong thinking, wrong thoughts, the thoughts that disable us, you know, Filippo brought up villains, and we can get into that a bit, but you know, those thoughts that just push us down, that stop us, withhold us. As we start to realize that we can look at them in, from a different lens too, the thoughts we keep don't have to be negative. We can actually have the power to choose the thoughts we keep. What an amazing superpower that is for all of us on this journey and being the heroes of our own journey to realize, wait, I can actually choose the thoughts I want to keep. And for me, with all my thoughts twisted around with insecurities and anxiousness and worries and all these different things that were in the undercurrent of who I really was, I was able to start to unpack those, let the thoughts go, and realize that the past is only the past. It's not my present. It's only real if I let it hook me back into the past. But I can reframe them and look at the memories of the past and actually learn over time and with some practice to be grateful for them through forgiveness. And what I realized in my own walk is that we don't necessarily have to find forgiveness. We just need to find compassion, and forgiveness will hold our hand.
Hmm. Wow. John, there's so much left still to talk about, and we only just have a couple minutes on this particular podcast, but I trust we will be connecting again in some way. So there, a lot of the information is in the book. So Discover Your Who, discoveryourwho.com is where people can learn more about you, learn more about the workshops, and also get the book as well. It's available where books are sold online. In the meantime, I did mention villains. You mentioned a little bit about what that is. Let's just a minute on the why we needed a who before the why, or why comes after who.
I get it. And these are the questions, but you know, what I've realized is when we're out of alignment with what we truly desire. So first off, I believe we're all in a hamster wheel because society has taught us to be in that hamster wheel. We grade ourselves on many cases on how busy we are. We're not grading ourselves on the quality of what we're doing. We're not grading ourselves on the quality of what we're doing aligned with what we truly desire. We're not taught that. We're taught to, hey, be busy, you know, like, you know, 16 years old, what university are you going to start thinking about going to, and what job, and all these things, and they stack. And so over time, we get in the hamster wheel until one day we realize, and I hope that everyone realizes, that it doesn't end, and nor does it even really go anywhere. And so in that one fail moment, we can jump out of it and realize that for me to really know what my whys, I have to know who I am. And for me to know who I am, and for all of us to know who we are, we have to simply just take the time to realize we can choose to be the thought leader of our own lives. We can choose to go and turn the arrow inward, to go into our heart, to listen for that still small voice that's inside us that says, hey, I've been calling you. I got a message for you. And you know, guess what, guys? It doesn't have to be that it's some major event. It could be just something as simple as, you know what? Why don't I play tennis anymore? I used to love tennis. I had a great friend that I played tennis with. I stopped playing tennis and I don't know why. Well, maybe my heart still desires that. So see how the why's there? Well, why don't I do it? Well, I choose to that I will. So we can realign our actions with what we know that we truly desire. And so it really boils down to this. Step one, listening to what we truly desire and starting to find out who we are. Two, what thoughts do we keep that empower us as opposed to disabling us? The villains are those disablers, the doubt, the shame, regret. Oh, I'm not good enough. I'm unworthy. I can't do that, right? They're coming right in at that moment where we're about to try, and start really using the words and bringing it to life and saying, I can do that. And maybe telling a friend, I'd love to play tennis. And then arranging our actions in line with our heart, and taking that courageous step to go and arrange for a tennis game again after all these years. And then if I love it and enjoy it, repeat it, which creates a new habit. And we can do that in all facets of our life, every piece of our life. And all we have to do is really stay in touch with asking ourselves who we are, and asking ourselves, why am I doing what I'm doing? Is it aligned with who I really am and what I truly desire? Am I having the conversations that count? And am I doing the things that really matter and I desire to have imparted into this world?
John, we just had a conversation that really matters. And thank you for imparting these thoughts along with us out into the world.
Thank you so much, Filippo and Mark. It's my pleasure.
All right, I have only one more question, John.
Absolutely.
When are we going to play tennis?
Well, you know, I'm going to ask you if you really want to do that.
I'm ready to go.
I'm ready to go. Yeah,
we'll do it.
And I will say this. I'm so happy to announce that, you know, this book really wasn't, I wasn't intending to write a book. It was just a compilation over the years of writings that turned into this book. And when we launched it, we were quickly Amazon's bestseller. And so I'm really hoping that it relates to many people with hopes that it encourages them to jump out of the hamster wheel. So thanks so much, guys, for having me on. It's been a distinct, huge pleasure.
It's been our pleasure. And of course, we've been touched, and obviously the audience has been touched, as have many people who have already commented about your book, Discover Your Who. Go to discoveryourwho.com, learn more about John Stix, and also find his book available where books are sold online. John, thank you again.
Oh my goodness, thank you.
And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Elizabeth in New Jersey, and I'm very confused by my husband. We've been married for 5 years, and he's been the love of my life. I recently discovered that he has had sex with another woman during our entire marriage. I have told him that I want a divorce, and he tells me that I'm the only woman he loves and that he does not want a divorce. I've always believed that the amazing sex life we shared was very special. We have sex every morning and every night. He even comes home almost every day on his lunch break, and we have great sex. How can his behavior and his cheating on me be love when he promised me that he would always be faithful?
Dear Elizabeth, thank you for this important question. I, too, married a man who professed undying love for me, and he was also having sexual relations with another woman consistently during our marriage. Unfortunately, it took me way too long to discover that what I shared with my husband was not love. In my present role as an ordained minister and life coach, I have witnessed many couples with this same challenge, and this has led me to the conclusion that many marriages may have little to do with love. I have also discovered that when we love ourselves, we have no room in our hearts and lives for those who disrespect us. I urge you, dear Elizabeth, to discover for yourself what love really is and free yourself from an unloving relationship. There are many great articles on what love is, and I feel you will gain the clarity you deserve if you do a little research in this area. An excellent place to start could be by reading the article titled What Love Is and What Love Isn't that can be found at psychology.com. Please update me when you have set yourself free.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
And we'll be right back with our performance guest, Peter Katz, on the Life Changes Show right after we come back.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and the little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorotheyDonahue.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show, broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We're back, and we are joined by a performance guest who's a Juno Award winning or nominated and Canadian Screen Award nominated singer, a songwriter, and so much more. We'll talk about that in just a moment. In the meantime, I want to welcome Peter Kess to the Life Changes Show.
Thank you so much. It's so nice to be on with you and with my dear friend, John Styx.
Yes, we're grateful to John for introducing you to us. And, you know, actually, after speaking with you, I was grateful that you are the one that I was reading about, whose music is on TV and lots of film and was used for the Rio Olympics in 2016 and the Paralympics. I was grateful that somebody with the kind of heart that you shared with me is the one who's putting out the music to the millions and millions of listeners.
Well, thank you. It's I think when it comes to putting music out into the world, it's something probably similarly to John writing a book. It's just a thing that you do because you have to. And there's almost an affliction to being a creator. It's a beautiful gift that I would never curse. But I don't control whether it matters to anybody. I just control sort of what I put into the hopper at the top, and then the rest is kind of out of my hands.
The intention that goes into each of the songs and the songs that you pick for the different occasions and the different keynote speeches that you give, that is what impressed me. So where does that idea of doing that come from for you?
Of doing it in the sort of keynote concert context?
Well, yes, and I'm specifically asking about knowing that you're putting an intention out. It's almost like a prayer.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, here's my thought, and I'm sort of forming this as I'm saying it. But I've always believed that we love people the way that we want to be loved, and similarly with art and creation, I think we create the things that we want to have exist in the world, that we want to sort of that we want to treasure. And there's a great kind of monologue by Ira Glass, who talks about being a creative, and there's this disconnect sometimes between what we like, our talent, our ability to do something, and our desire to do it. And so you're always sort of trying to get better and better and trying to express this thing that you're trying to express. And there's often a gap between your ability to do it and your desire. And so I think I've been sort of chasing expressing myself and trying to kind of capture this way that I want the world to be. And the way that I want the world to be is that I want human beings to see each other, and I want us to feel the specialness of our aliveness and the specialness of each other. And I don't mean that in a rose-colored glasses way, but in the way that it's a gift that we're here. And so I try to put music out into the world that reminds us that despite all these things that we're trying to do and all the things we're trying to accomplish, and I'm certainly guilty of trying to do all those things, but underneath all of that, there's just this beautiful human being. And so I want to put music out there that kind of helps people encounter themselves again.
Wow. And there it is. Well, let's talk about the keynote speaking actually when we come back after a song. And especially since what you just shared, I think lends itself to this first song we're going to hear, right?
Yeah, I think they all sort of draw back to that kind of inner re-encountering. And this first song that I want to share, actually, I think is kind of a good dovetail to what John talks about and this idea of discovering your who. And you know, he talked about that moment where he had his hand on the door, and he realized that this thing that he'd been doing for all this time was like not the thing anymore. And there was this discovery process that needed to happen, all these new things that needed to be learned and uncovered. And then there was also simultaneously a letting go of a way of being. And so this is a song called Come Down. And I often say that this is a song about letting go. And we all have things that we could stand to let go of. And sometimes we look at those parts of ourselves with a lot of judgment, like, why am I like this? I wish I wasn't like this. And part of the secret sauce of actually letting go of those things, at least I've discovered in my own life, is actually being loving towards those parts of ourselves and saying, hey, I was that way because I had to be. That helped me get through this part of my life. You know, for John, that probably helped him launch his business in those first 10 years. So what are those parts of ourselves that we kind of know in our hearts we want to let go of? How can we lovingly let go of them? And then in that letting go, we can create the spaciousness for something new to emerge. So anybody out there listening, or to all of you out there listening, I invite you to just take a little moment with yourself and just think about, what have I been hearing here tonight? What was stirred in me as I was listening to John speak? Maybe as I'm listening to the music, and what is a little part that I can just kind of just release a little bit in this moment? So this is called Come Down.
Come down from the cloud you're in. I see what's happening. I won't let it this time. Come down, come down, come down, or come down crashing. You know that it's happening. Don't let it this time. Don't paint her in a picture, don't put up on your wall. Don't invite her to the party and expect her to say nothing at all. Cause if love's gonna live, it's gotta breathe a bit. Needs air, push and pull, no fear of losing it. If I wanna break from the past, if I wanna have a chance at something that lasts, gotta start from the ground up. Gotta round up every bit of courage that I've got. Learn to love what I don't know, learn to love when I get lost. Come down, come down, come down from the cloud you're in. I see what's happening. I won't let it this time. Come down, come down, come down, or come down crashing. You know that it's happening. Don't let it this time. It's not the picture of love that I was raised on. It's not the literature that all those daydreams are based on. But it's real and it's good. It's what comes after I should, you should, we should, wish we could. It's the rain and the storm and now makes the green grow. It's the mountains that form and the path of destruction, the lava flow. It's the map of the scars on my skin. Saying, look how far I've come, look at where I've been. And it's beautiful in its own way. Sometimes the sky's so pretty even when it's gray. It's beautiful in its own way. Some things make us breathe the deepest as they take our breath away. Come down, come down, come down from the clouds you're in. I see what's happening. I won't let it this time. come down, come down, come down, or come down crashing. You know that it's happening. Oh, don't let it this time. Come down, 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 come down. Come down, come down, come down, I come down crashing. You know that it's happening. Don't let it this time. Don't let it this time.
Hmm.
Fantastic.
Peter Katz. Live. Online on the Life Changers show. That was his original song, Come Down. Thank you, Peter. We liked that song so much, actually. You'd have the official video version featuring the Powerhouse Fellowship Soul Choir. And we posted that on the page that we created for you on our website. It speaks to all of us here, and thank you for speaking to our audience through that piece.
Oh, my pleasure.
You speak. As a matter of fact, I was going to give out two web pages here. Peter Katz, and that's KATZ.com. And then PeterKatzSpeaks.com. Of course, you could find him on Facebook and Instagram. Peter Katz, Peter Katz, Peter Katz. But the speaks part. So that's a little bit, we were talking about the keynote idea that you had, which seems very unique. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole long origin story around how the keynote concert emerged. I'll give you the cliff notes. It started actually for youth. There was this youth mentoring program in southern Alberta here in Canada that had been using my music unbeknownst to me as part of their curriculum. And long story short, they recruited me to come work for them and just had the most amazing experience. And became dear friends with the people that run that. And they were the ones that kind of nudged me and said, hey, I've seen your concerts. I've seen how you are with youth. We have these things called keynoters, you know, that come into our schools. You should do that. And so my friend Dave helped me write my first youth talk and did that for many years alongside my concerts. And then through a series of events, had an opportunity to do a keynote for grownups, as I say. And as soon as that happened, there was this moment where I really realized like this was kind of the ultimate format for me. And I always had people come to my concerts and say, hey, I come to your concerts as much for what you say in between the songs as the songs. And so I just changed the ratio. I just speak more, play a little less, but thus came the keynote concert.
I feel like we got a little taste of that just before the Come Down song, actually, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've in more recent years as well, I had a lot of my speaking clients ask for more, and so I really got into facilitation as well. So that was a little bit more like facilitation in that moment where I'm trying to take the song and take the music and take the moment and really just put it in the listener's heart, and it's not so much about me and my song and you know, thinking like I'm great, but it's like, what is it making you think about yourself? That's what I'm kind of more interested in these days.
Well, I had a moment where it felt like I was getting a little bit of a preaching in a good way, and I thought I'd go to his church. So I don't know if that's the next thing. PeterKatzPreaching.com. Might as well just get it now, just in case.
I'll just register then. I'm going to go to GoDaddy right here. Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to be like the clients who want more. We want more. We're going to get to hear another song. And what's this one going to be? You're going to tell us, I'm sure.
Yeah, this is a song called Paper Thin. And you know, this is a song about our hardest moments, and we don't like going through hard moments. We do everything in our power to avoid them. But you know, as John described, and as I'm sure pretty much every listener can relate. It's often in those hard moments that we really kind of do some of our greatest discoveries. We gather some of our greatest gifts, our greatest wisdom. So this song is about one of those hard moments, but it's almost embracing the being kind of broken down to your very basic, and then you can start doing some good learning and growing from there. So this is called Paper Thin.
I can barely even talk about it now, but I don't know any other way out. I have pushed myself so hard for all these years, still it's not clear what for. And all the roads I drive no longer lead me home. I could fill an ocean with all that I don't know, and I was safer in the insides of those walls. But that's not all there is. Ooh. I know everything falls apart. Ooh. Just wasn't ready for life to hit that hard and like the narrow space between the start and the end, or the mirror that is now and then, or the insides that are showing through my skin. The paper thin. When your biggest fear, it ends up coming true, that's when you find out what you have inside of you. And I am braver than I ever could have known. These days have shown that to me. Wasn't ready for life to hit that hard and lack the narrow space between the start and the end, or the mirror that is now and then, or the insides that are showing through my skin. Paper thin. I feel my eyes adjusting to the dark, and I can see the light of far off stars. If I let myself get far enough away from the city of our lives and lack the hold I never really have, I'm getting older. It's not all in my hands, but I will not be afraid of the insides that are showing through my skin. I'm paper thin. Paper thin now. I'm paper thin now. I'm paper thin.
Wow. Wow. Peter Katz. Thank you so much. Once again, find him at petercatz.com or Peter Katz katzspeaks.com. That's Katz, K-A-T-Z, of course, Facebook, Instagram, Peter Katz and Peter Katz Music. Peter, I, you know, we're at the end of our show, but I have to ask you, so a CBC radio host said about you, one of the most heartfelt, beautiful, and vulnerable records of the year, an astonishing record. So that word vulnerable, and it came up a couple times in our conversation with John Styx, as you know. So are you being vulnerable, or are you being what's happening when you're singing these stories that have to come from somewhere and they're real, otherwise they wouldn't come across this way?
Yeah, I mean, I think with the way you just said it was perfect, is I feel like I'm being. I feel like I don't know. So many people, we find small talk, for example, really draining, because we're sort of operating on the surface level, and kind of who we really are and what's really inside of ourselves is being suppressed. And that can be draining, right? So I feel like when I get to sing, when I get to share and storytell and connect, I feel like I'm being, like my true self is just there. And the only way that I know, and that I really believe great art connects, or a great coach or mentor or leader or teacher or anybody connects, is being able to tap into some authenticity, to actually be embodying the thing that it is that you're trying to share or convey. And so I feel like when I get to play, I'm always just trying to get to a place of authenticity and just let who I really am out. And the beautiful thing about songs is, like, you know, we don't see things as they are, we see them as we are. And so a different song can mean a very different thing to me in a different moment. And that's like this gift that keeps on giving. And the way I am tonight and whatever's just happened right before this moment is informing the way I play the song right now. And I might play it tomorrow and have a different experience of it. But it's my job to just sort of let the song move me, and also just sort of feel the energy of anybody that might be listening, and offer it to them without trying to affect it too much.
Well, thank you for that. And anyone who has ears and heart, I'm sure, felt what you gave to us today. So thank you, Peter Katz.
Really my pleasure. Thank you. Thanks to you, and thanks to John for the invitation.
Yes, indeed. And thanks to John, indeed, for being such a great interview guest. And that is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Legere, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at the Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.